This is Jordan Seculo. The Obama administration doesn't want you to know about international acts of Islamic terror.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on.
What does the president think about a statement like that? Maybe the media should tone down or back off in our coverage of terrorism.
Listen, I think the president has talked about this a little bit himself. I think what the president's point would be that the challenge that is facing the United States law enforcement, national security, and homeland security officials is to be perfect. And
but we should still talk about it, shouldn't we? And we should still cover it.
Sure, the president himself talks about it a lot. And we talk about the significant resources that are invested in protecting the American people, both at home and around the world.
Do you think the media sometimes overstates the sort of level of alarm people should have about terrorism and this kind of chaos, as opposed to a longer-term problem of climate change and epidemic disease?
Absolutely. And, I don't blame the media for that. What's the famous saying about local newscasts, right? If it bleeds, it leads.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I wanted to ask you about some comments that Secretary Kerry made when he was in Bangladesh. He seemed to suggest that perhaps the media shouldn't be covering terror attacks quite as much as they do. He said perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on. Can you offer any clarification?
What he was referring to in that statement was simply that an acknowledgement of the fact, and it's a fact that all of you know, that often in acts of terrorism, there's more than one purpose. There's the violence itself and the havoc that it can wreak and the fear that it can instill and the damage that it can cause. And there's also the notoriety that comes with the press coverage from it, the glorification of that through amplification in the mass media.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Never popular in the United States to tell people as a government official, it'd be better if you, the media, didn't cover things so much so people won't know about it. And especially so when it involves Islamic terrorism that we're all facing a threat from right here in our own country, in our own backyard, whether you are, in the Orlando attack most recently in San Bernardino, and even during these lull periods where we haven't seen many attacks in Europe since what happened in the south of France, and we have not in Nice, and we have not seen as many attacks here in the United States. There have been a lot of arrests, though, that have been made. So there's been a crackdown on many Islamic communities and these recruiters for ISIS, people trying to join ISIS. They've arrested law enforcement officials who have attempted to reach out to ISIS as well. So those arrests are ongoing. So we know the threat is there. It's when will it manifest itself again? And we're being told by our Secretary of State, John Kerry. We talked about this yesterday. We didn't have the audio yet. I think the audio always makes it more impactful because you actually hear that what they said and the tone and that they weren't misspeaking, that they weren't speaking quickly, that they weren't responding to something. Right. It wasn't. And they didn't catch themselves and realize that I don't mean, that there should be a trampling of our First Amendment freedom of the press rights. He didn't do any of that. It was very clear. Let's play it again for everybody. John Kerry speaking overseas in a country that probably doesn't have press freedoms even close to ours, Bangladesh. Let's take a listen.
But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on.
And you heard the response in the opening of the show from Josh Earnest, White House press secretary, the State Department press secretary at Kirby, John Kirby, trying to explain this away. And their explanations, I think it just plays right into the hands of exactly the fear in our country is that our government wishes that the media, and we're talking about the regular media outlets, would cover terrorism less, even though it impacts all of us. And by the way, they hardly cover it when it's happening in parts of the world like Syria and Iraq, and where there's explosions going on all the time, or Afghanistan, Pakistan, they barely cover it. And so, again, is there even enough coverage to the threat that ISIS poses? I think that's the bigger question. There's not even enough coverage of the threat that ISIS is posing to the United States. Logan, tell people how they can get involved with Facebook and Periscope.
That's right. Phone lines are open, too, 1-800-684-3110. And a couple lines are open. But you also join us Facebook, Periscope. Get your comments in right now. Search for Jay Seculo.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Folks, we talk about a time in our country where our Secretary of State has called on the media to not cover international acts of Islamic terror. I actually believe that there's not enough coverage of the ISIS attacks, the atrocities, the 72 mass graves that were uncovered with thousands of bodies in Iraq, that these were ISIS mass graves. There's not enough coverage. There's not enough imagery that people, unfortunately, because they're such tough images, that we don't like always to focus on what's happening to people in other parts of the world that feel more remote to us. Now, if it happens in France, if it happens in the UK, if it happens right here at home, obviously the coverage becomes 24/7. But is it really that different if it's happening in France versus, but shouldn't we also be showing what's happening on the streets of Iraq, what's happening on the streets of Syria by ISIS specifically? And yet I don't even feel like that gets enough coverage, but Secretary Kerry would like less coverage of terrorism because in his own words, and now we have the audio, which we played for you twice already, quote, people wouldn't know what's going on. That is a scary thought. That's why also, you know, we're filing our FOIA request. We filed this in federal court yesterday because the State Department, surprise, surprise, did not meet their deadline to file, to respond to our FOIA request about what they were doing 5 months ago. John Kerry said that they were going to, that he considered what ISIS was doing, including to Christians, as genocide. So we've been tracking the U.S. State Department through their diplomats and at the various international agencies like the U.N. Are they doing anything? Are they talking about it at all? Are they taking any concrete steps? And we've come to the conclusion that no, they aren't publicly. So we need to file requests to see if they were doing anything
right
behind the scenes to get something done on this. State Department didn't respond adequately, missed the deadline. We're now in federal court about it. This is the lawsuit. You can read it at the complaint at aclj.org. The State Department will have time to respond, obviously, but they will now have to ultimately answer. I have this feeling that they don't have any documents to produce because there is nothing.
That's probably right.
Whether they want to admit that or not, I don't think they will, but that may ultimately be the case, that they have no documents to produce. We just want to know the truth. That's why the FOIA process exists. This is a critical time for us at the American Center for Law and Justice. We're about to get to your phone calls, comments at aclj.org on Facebook and Periscope. And of course, if you want to talk to us on air, that number, 1-800-684-3110. But this is a critical time. It's the final day of the month. And as we come to you, we're about $250,000 short of our goal, for our fundraising goal for the month of August. We want to meet and try to surpass that goal, maybe reach $300,000 today. That means that those of you listening right now to the radio broadcast or watching through Facebook and Periscope can make a donation very easily at aclj.org to help us reach that goal. To file these FOIA requests, it's not free. You have to pay fees. To go into federal court, you must pay fees. You have to have attorneys to do that. So all of this costs money. It's not just when you say that you don't just talk about the issues, you do something about it. You know, we have to have that office in Europe to track our U.S. officials. That European office costs, it takes resources to have attorneys in Europe. And, of course, attorneys we have all over the world. So, folks, we are asking you today, it's very important for us, and we don't make these kind of pushes often, to encourage you this much to make a donation. And this is a great time to do it because you actually double the impact. So this is the final day of our matching challenge. So anything you donate at ACLJ.org is doubled. And that means that don't think that your $5 donation would not be important to us, the ACLJ. It would. So would that $10 or $20. And of course, even more if you feel that you want to do that. But especially today, if you've been considering, if you've done it in the past, supporting the ACLJ, we need your support to keep on track with our fundraising, to keep everything going. And also so that we can then look forward to, if we surpass that goal, to expand, to do more. And that's ultimately our goal at the ACLJ always, is to be able to do more, to put more resources towards fighting for justice, getting the truth, and, of course, you know, on these international issues, protecting people's lives.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Diane calling from Seymour, Indiana on line 3. Diane, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Diane.
I just have a comment, and that is I just cannot imagine Winston Churchill making the comment that our illustrious Secretary of State did.
Yeah, let me play it because I haven't played it for you in this segment yet. And we talked about this yesterday. It was being reported in news outlets because John Kerry is traveling internationally. This was made in Bangladesh, which, again, it kind of makes me even more upset because these are countries. You know, we have this great freedom of the press here and freedom of the speech. Most of the world doesn't. Even Europe, Western Europe, does not have the freedom of speech like we do, or the freedom of press like we do, and especially not when you start getting into South Asia and in places like Bangladesh, where the government sometimes is good, sometimes is bad, but certainly people don't feel like they have that complete freedom like we do and should feel here. That he makes a statement as our top diplomat, our top representative of the United States, the only person higher when it comes to diplomacy would be the president themselves. Take a listen to John Kerry. This is what Diane was referring to, Bite 11.
But if you decide one day you're going to be a terrorist and you're willing to kill yourself, you can go out and kill some people. You can make some noise. Perhaps the media would do us all a service if they didn't cover it quite as much. People wouldn't know what's going on.
I want to go to our ACLJ Director of Government Affairs, Than Bennett, who's back on the show with us. He's out of town for a couple of days out of Washington, D.C. But Than, you know, the D.C. reaction to this, the absurdity of a statement like this, our office being right behind the Supreme Court of the United States, our Bill of Rights and the First Amendment just being, you know, so important to all of us as Americans. And most politicians get that. And most government officials, U.S. government officials get that. The fact that John Kerry said this, and it was obvious now that we have the audio, it wasn't a misstatement. He got applause. And again, you know, this was something done intentionally. I would think that there's many in Washington who would be pretty upset. I know that they want to also bring, tell people about that they want to bring Secretary Kerry in to testify before the Oversight Committee as well.
Yeah, Secretary Kerry will be up on the Hill next month, Jordan, to testify on this and many other issues. We actually have a number of questions that we want asked of him. But to me, the most tragic thing about that comment is the fact that, just to be very honest, that, Jordan, is reflective of this administration's policy. They believe that if you downplay terrorism, that if you minimize it, that if in many ways if you appease it, that it goes away. And the biggest problem with that, especially for policymakers here on the Hill, is that it just simply doesn't work. And in fact, it does the opposite. It adds recruiting. It adds success. It adds the legitimacy to organizations that then have success under that appeasement mentality. So I actually think the policy ramifications of Secretary Kerry's comments are pretty drastic. It's a dangerous approach. And honestly, to go back to a political discussion we had a few weeks ago, it has been at the feet of this administration, Jordan, the rise of ISIS, the continued success, and it really all goes back to this appeasement mentality. So Secretary Kerry's comments, contrary to being just a slip of the tongue, I think it was an intentional reflection of this administration's policy.
It is just, it's absurd to me, and Logan, I mean, he commented on this, but it's absurd to me to make these kind of comments about the media so people don't find out things and know about things in countries where it is difficult for people to know the truth about what's happening. In a country like Bangladesh, which suffers from extreme poverty, you know, it's very difficult for people to get by each day, not less know what's going on outside of their, you know, small community. But again, to encourage media around the world is what he was doing. Not just U.S. media, but international media, not to cover what is a threat to so many of us, including the people of Bangladesh. They also have the threats from Islamic terrorism there, like neighboring countries in India.
That's what a lot of the comments have come in. Like Sandra said, communism is exactly what Kerry is describing, media blackouts.
Yep.
And one other person said, why do people applaud for Kerry making an absurd statement? Who would applaud this? Can't believe this statement would be applauded. Other governments. And, you know, look at where he is. You know.
Yeah, other governments who like to control messaging. I mean, ultimately, listen, he just let you in on a secret. The government and these government leaders, and they would all like to control the media. They would all like to be able to shut down stories put in media blackouts. That's the great thing about the United States. As much as anybody may want to do it, they can't. But in other countries, they have ways of doing that. And most of the time, the media is run by the state. And there may be a few independent outlets. They're shut down constantly for much lighter infractions than covering a terror attack or covering the threat from terrorism. And so, honestly, folks, that's the implication of this. Is when he's speaking for the United States to the world. And again, calling on restrictions to the freedom of the press is absurd. It is wrong. And it just kind of goes in line with, Than, also our FOIA request. The reason why we filed a lawsuit against the State Department is this whole policy and statements they will make, some that sound good, some that are not, and then no follow-up after them.
Well, let's talk about the tragic irony of the Josh Earnest sound that you played, that if it bleeds, it leads. I mean, here's the bottom line. People are bleeding and dying because of the genocide that is taking place at the hands of ISIS. And I would just say, we've been very clear on this broadcast, Jordan. I know you have been specifically, that we are grateful to Secretary Kerry for doing something that Secretary Clinton wouldn't, which is designate genocide. However, that designation comes with obligations, both moral and legal, under the Genocide Convention. There is no evidence, Jordan, that this administration is living up to those obligations. So this lawsuit that you held up and that we've talked about, we want answers. We want to know what they are doing to meet those obligations. I, like you, suspect that they are doing very little. But if they are doing something, we want to know about it so we can support it. And if they are not doing it, we are going to push them to do it because they have a legal obligation to do
so. We're going to take more of your phone calls in the next segment. We got one line open right now, 1-800-684-3110. So call in if you want to be part of the show. Kind of wanted to lay out our focus today in these first two segments. And we're going to get into the Clinton emails that have been released. Harry Hutchinson from our ACLJ policy team is going to be joining us to discuss that as well. So we're going to get into that. We'll talk a little bit about Donald Trump's international trip today, crossing the border into Mexico to meet with the Mexican president. But most of that will be after his speech tonight in Arizona. We'll kind of cover tomorrow on the show, but we'll cover a little bit of that as well coming up. I want to make sure you're part. We have got a goal of at least reaching 250,000 today to stay on track with our fundraising at the American Center for Law and Justice. We need you to make an online donation at aclj.org. Your donation will be doubled. It's the last day of the matching challenge, last day of the month. Make that donation, aclj.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877-877. 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In this segment, we're going to focus on the phone calls. Coming up, if you don't get the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live on your local radio station, remember, we're broadcasting the whole show through Facebook, through the Jay Sekulow page on Facebook, and online at aclj.org, and through Periscope as well. On Facebook and Periscope, you can get in on the conversation, so we encourage those ways to interact. And I think all of you out there could get on Facebook. So if you don't get that second 30 minutes on your local radio station, you do get it on SiriusXM. And or if you're by a computer or can access even your phone, you can listen in and view us, actually see us right now through Facebook and Periscope. In the second half hour, we're going to get more into the Clinton emails, some on Benghazi that have been uncovered by the FBI and the questions there. Why now? Isn't the FBI investigation over? Why is the FBI now finding new Benghazi-related emails? So we're going to get into that. We'll talk more a little bit about the Donald Trump strategy going to Mexico, and he soon will be arriving there and meeting with the Mexican president. But most of that will be for tomorrow's show. And his speech, obviously. We're waiting on the FBI. They say that it could have been as early as today that they would release the Clinton documents, what they sent to the DOJ with their recommendation not to prosecute, as well as the notes from her testimony to the FBI agents. That has not yet been released. So as soon as that is, we're going to analyze it. We'll talk about it on the air. And of course, John Kerry now with this statement. We've got a lot to talk about, many phone calls coming in. I do want to let people know this is critical because it's our final segment on our main 30 minutes of our broadcast, that we have a goal that we need to reach today of $250,000 of fundraising for the American Center for Law and Justice to be on track for the month of August, the final day of the month. You can make a donation online at aclj.org. It's safe, it's secure, it's quick. You can make a one-time donation. And right now, you'll still be part, because it's still August, the final day of the month, of our matching challenge. So anything you're able to donate will be doubled. A $5, a $10, a $20 donation has a serious and important impact to us. Again, we've got to raise about $250,000 today. We've got a lot going on. We got lawsuits filed in federal court, as I showed you, against the State Department. We've got my dad's obviously traveling in New York, meeting on the Israel situation that we're working on, defense of Israel, meeting with some of our team from Israel and our team from Washington, D.C. We got Than, of course, in Washington, D.C., and our government affairs office and all the international offices that are doing great work every single day. We talked about some new issues that we were dealing with internationally, potentially with Boko Haram, an ISIS-aligned terror group in Northwest Africa. We need your support. Go to aclj.org. Any donation really does make an impact, and you can double that impact if you donate today at aclj.org and help us reach that goal. Logan, let's head to the phones.
All right, let's go to Donna, who's calling California online for you. You're on the air, Donna.
Hi. I have a question and a comment. Has there been any other reasons given by anyone in the federal government regarding limiting the news media about ISIS murders besides John Kerry's statement in Bangladesh about us Americans not needing to know what's going on? And my comment is, I've heard comments that it plays into ISIS hands because they love the publicity.
So first of all, ISIS has its own media. ISIS has its own publicity, and there's actually been a lot of stories out about how they do not try to engage other media outlets because they have an effective way of high level of production, social media. They've got the public. They can get it out very quickly on their own and control the message. I'm talking about ISIS. And they can also utilize the dark web to publish, their magazine, which they do, and use the recruitment tool, which makes its way, by the way, to Google, a Google search. So it's not in the dark web very long, but it protects whoever's putting that together for them.
Right.
Is why they do it there, and that where it originates from, whether that's in Syria or somebody, in Europe helping put it together, and the people contributing articles. I mean, it's a full magazine. We've discussed it on this broadcast before. So they're not really reliant on our media for that. This is typical of this administration. It goes back to President Obama saying, if it bleeds, it leads. So actually, Donna, to answer your first question, there is some precedent for this administration. Now, Secretary Kerry took it a step further, but here's President Obama a year ago making comments that would be in line with this.
Do you think the media sometimes overstates the sort of level of alarm people should have about terrorism and this kind of chaos as opposed to a longer-term problem of climate change and epidemic disease?
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't blame the media for that. You know, what's the famous saying about local newscasts, right? If it bleeds, it leads.
You know, and think about this administration. So there was Kerry. Also, and that was President Obama back in 2015. Also, John Kirby from the State Department's defending Secretary Kerry. Josh Earnest defending Secretary Kerry. So the administration could have backed off from this and has decided not to. They could have said he misspoke. He did not mean, you know, the press should not be able to cover it. That's not what they've done. They've doubled down on this. So they're in tacit agreement with Donna, with what Secretary Kerry said. But, you know, think about this. When there's racial unrest in a small town in Missouri, do they think there's too much media coverage when CNN hits the streets and there's 100 people on the street and there's tear gas? No. Do they think that that's going to, you know, are they concerned that that doesn't get enough coverage or is getting too much coverage because it may cause protest in a bigger city like Baltimore, for instance, and then it happens in Baltimore, it's going to happen in Chicago, and then it could happen. You know, I think that they're fine with extensive coverage of issues that they want people talking about. So absolutely. Racial unrest. They like that one, which, again, it should get coverage. If there's riots going on in your city, it should get coverage. And the reason why there's riots should also get coverage. We're not disagreeing. If there's gun violence unrelated to Islamic terror, they love that coverage. You know, they love talking about gun violence if it's not Muslims who used the gun to kill Americans because of an ideology. So if it's a mass shooting incident at a school unrelated to Islamic terror, they want coverage on that. But as the government, they don't get to pick and choose. All of those events should get coverage. The riots, racial unrest, gun violence, they should all get coverage. And international Islamic terrorism. What happens in our country especially, what happens in our allied countries like Europe especially, and of course, what our own troops, I mean, we've got air campaigns hitting ISIS. We should know what's going on. Why are we hitting ISIS in Iraq and Syria? What are they doing that's so bad? We should talk about those mass graves that are uncovered.
Absolutely. We try to cover that each and every day here on the show. Yeah. That's why I want to thank everyone who's on hold right now. We only got a minute and a half. Do you want to take a call before you?
Let's take one quick.
Right, let's go quickly to Andrew in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the air, Andrew.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate this report. And then quickly, they don't want to report on terrorism because they would have to admit that Syria is just a proxy war that could lead to World War III. And an example of not reporting on things is the unrest in Turkey, the protests that once media stopped talking about, and it led to a coup. Everybody acts shocked like they didn't know why.
Yeah, right. And that's just because, you know, I'd visited Turkey in the last couple of years. It was obviously this regime was very similar to kind of when I visited Russia under the Putin government. I had visited before Putin was in power. It's very different than when Putin was in power. There's some things that you may see as like a tourist that seem better because the streets are a little bit more chilled out. But there's huge security presence. You're not seeing protest. There's just not quite that level of a feel of democracy, if you will. And so that was there, just wasn't getting coverage, like you said. And Andrew, you're right. That's why my dad's new book, which is released in just less than 3 weeks, you can pre-order now on Amazon. It's Unholy Alliance. It talks about, you talk about Iran and that the real threat of this expanding into dangerous situation. This talks about Iran, Russia, and the dangerous agenda they share with some of these jihadi groups on their ideology. So you can pre-order that now at Amazon, Unholy Alliance by Jay Sekulow. We encourage you to do that. Be part of our matching challenge. We got that $250,000 goal today. Go to aclj.org. We need your support. We've got to stay on track. We'd like to be able to expand, but we definitely want to be on budget. So let's go to aclj.org, make a donation, any amount. It really does make a difference. $5, $10, $20. It's all doubled. Final day of matching.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
joining us for our second half hour of the broadcast. In the next segment of the show, as we continue to take more of your calls and comments, we're also going to get into this new release of Hillary Clinton emails. A little bit more confusing, because why is the FBI releasing more Clinton emails that are uncovered about Benghazi specifically when the investigation was already closed? So we're going to talk about that with Harry Hutchinson and try to get to the bottom of why is this a new issue. Was Hillary Clinton withholding these emails? Was the FBI just not doing their due diligence and just stumbled upon? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense yet. It's a bit complicated. Obviously, a lot of focus today on the news will be Donald Trump in Mexico. He has a private meeting with Mexico's president, and I'm sure he will talk after that, but I don't think they're doing any kind of joint press conference. You never know with Donald Trump. So, and into these international trips, always risky politically, sometimes very successful. President Obama's made some extremely successful international trips during his first campaign for president. Mitt Romney's was pretty bad, pretty tough, impacted his campaign negatively. So neither Donald Trump nor Hillary Clinton have decided to make big international trips. So Hillary Clinton's not doing a European tour. She's kind of said, I've been Secretary of State, I don't need to do that. Donald Trump was going to go to Israel, but decided, again, too many issues going on in our country. I think a lot of this is because it is politically risky, but Donald Trump has taken Mexico's president's offer to meet with him. The same day, he then will be flying from Mexico City to Arizona to deliver his speech tonight on immigration, where he's supposed to clarify what his policy is in regards to not the wall, not to deporting illegal immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes, but with the Dreamers, the kids who were brought here by their parents, what to do with that, which is estimated about 11 to up to 20 million people. We're supposed to get answers from that on Donald Trump tonight. We will analyze this tomorrow on the show. And Logan, let's take a phone call.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Bree, who's calling in Oregon on line one.
Hi, Bree.
Hello. I wanted to say I agree with you and your father about how ineffective it is to fight terrorism with love and compassion. And in the same way, I don't really understand Christian ministers, how they could promote someone who flaunts the Ten Commandments, who brags about sleeping with other men's wives, and has no need for forgiveness.
I know who you're talking about immediately. I think you're talking about Donald Trump. And listen, people do change in their life. They're young to older and a little bit more wiser and a little bit calmer. And a lot of that also, Donald Trump was a celebrity. A lot of this was stories. I mean, he would, I think, agree with that this was about creating a persona.
Character, yeah.
Just like he played himself on The Apprentice, he was also a character of himself. And that's different than the Donald Trump who's doing the real business deals. Different than the Donald Trump who's going to be meeting with Mexico's president today. And I will tell you this, I get some of your concerns, but remember, in politics, we are not electing a pastor in chief. You're never probably going to like anybody, agree with every issue necessarily, or even always their personal backgrounds. And sometimes, the choices that we have are not always great, but we still live in a country where we get to make a choice. And it is a direct reflection of us. I mean, we go through these primary processes. We have independent candidates. We have third-party candidates available. I will tell you, I get you. I think a lot of people, Logan, in this election specifically, are struggling because they're a little put off by both major parties. Not a little, a lot put off. In fact, they said if you tried to find somebody who's okay with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is not the typical presidential campaign where at least you kind of respect both sides. This is where a lot of people have negatives that are deeply personal and they care about. I mean, look, you have our generation where you look at the fact that we've already seen, another Clinton would be, that's pretty much the first president. A lot of us really knew what was going on under. So the fact there'd be another Clinton would be an issue. And sorry about that. And there'll be a lot of things going on. So I think you're right. I think it's people are perplexed in many different situations.
Folks, I want to make sure you understand as well. It's very important, our matching challenge right now at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We need to hit a goal of 250,000 plus at fundraising today to be on our goal. So go to ACLJ.org. We really need your support. We don't ask for it often. Make a donation today to the ACLJ, ACLJ.org.
It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
There was some pointing going on from our producers, and we looked up to the screen, and I think things had already been changed, and we didn't cut right to the audio, but you saw us maybe on if you're watching through Facebook and Periscope, look at each other. Did something just happen, or are we still broadcast? We're still, you know, still being able to broadcast on the air, and you know, it was actually directly related to as we were making that ask of you to donate to the American Center for Law and Justice today, so we reach our goal, $250,000 to raise today, so that we stay on track this year, and especially for the month of August, that will allow the ACLJ to continue all of its work that Fox News had just put up in, not on the ticker, but right in the subject line of what they're discussing now on Fox News. ACLJ sues State Department over genocide and lack of answers on what they're doing to prevent genocide, the ISIS genocide. So when you say that, when we say we don't just talk about it, we do something, and then it just, you know, none of us are on this. This is just the news being reported by Fox.
Right.
Our lawsuit, I'm sure we will be on Fox to discuss it later this week. But I just wanted to kind of point that out as times when you may be at home, see, you know, look, sometimes it'll say ACLJ involved, and it may not be one of us on the air, but that is our team. That is the work that you're supporting. And the reason why there was even, I think, about a 15-minute discussion on Fox just now about the genocide by ISIS and the U.S. government's lack of engaging it at the international level,
yeah,
like the U.N. So, again, a great time to support us. We need your support at the ACLJ and our matching challenge to reach our goal. Go to aclj.org today. We'd greatly appreciate
that. And we're continually in contact with the folks at Fox. The reason you may hear a story here first and then you see it there is because they're also paying attention to what's going on with the ACLJ and cover what happened. So, you know, support them as well. But, you know, support us to help make sure we can be an influencer to the biggest news station in the world. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
And I want to bring now in both Harry Hutchinson, who is our senior policy analyst at the ACLJ, and Than Bennett as well, into discussion. I told people, both Harry and Than, we would get into it in this segment because there's a bit of confusion over this story. New emails. I remember tweeting this out yesterday when the story broke last night, and more even this morning. New emails released from Hillary Clinton about Benghazi. These are emails that the FBI has uncovered. And what's unclear to me, and I'm sure to a lot of people, is one, why is the FBI still uncovering new emails if their investigation is over? And then two, if these were held back from the FBI, if Hillary Clinton intentionally, or not even intentionally, but did not turn these over as part of that big turnover of her email server, what implications that could have legally? I mean, Harry, it's a bit confusing to see a story like this related to the server emails that we thought the investigation was over.
Jordan, absolutely. But the FBI perhaps is continuing its investigation in part because it's responding to requests from news outlets.
Sure.
And it's responding to perhaps FOIA requests. The ACLJ, for instance, continues to submit FOIA requests to the State Department and other administrative units as part of the Obama administration. So I think it's actually encouraging to note that the FBI is uncovering additional information. For instance, today we learned that months after stepping down as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton continued to send classified information.
After she was Secretary of State, she's emailing people documents that she shouldn't have in an unclassified way.
Absolutely. And so it strikes me that the email scandal has two basic components. First, what did she do wrong by placing a private email server in her basement? And the second question, which is linked to the first, is why did she do it in the first place?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think FBI Director Comey has done an excellent job, at least in setting forth the facts in terms of what she did that was absolutely wrong, even though he failed to reach, in my opinion, the right legal
which was to take at least encourage the Department of Justice, recommend that the Department of Justice look at prosecution. And that's all the FBI is supposed to do, is say, look at it, don't look at it. And then it's up to the DOJ to determine who would be prosecuted for what exactly. Than to me, this issue, like new Benghazi emails revealed by the FBI, Hillary Clinton emailing classified information after she left office as Secretary of State, after she steps down from that position in an unsecure way, she's still emailing classified info around, still violating the rules when it comes to that. That should be dominating the political news stories. And though it's there, still there's this focus, at least until tonight, on Donald Trump and his immigration policy. And Than, to me, I think that this is why it's a critical time for the Trump campaign to get this done. Hopefully this meeting in Mexico, it's as smooth as possible. Get out of Mexico, go to Arizona, give the speech, make it clear so that you can then – I don't think Donald Trump's not going to lose his core supporters. We kind of figured that out on this waffling on immigration as long as he sticks with the building the wall, they're with him. Move on past this. Clear contrast on this issue so you're ready for the debate with Hillary Clinton. You know the differences between your policies and what you may agree on. And then focus on these kind of issues like the emails.
Yeah, Jordan, I agree with you. I mean, I think there's a certain political brilliance in bringing the immigration issue back to the forefront because it's been the one issue far and away that's the best for Donald Trump. But I agree with you. I mean, we talk on this broadcast all the time about how we dual track these investigations. We work with Congress to make sure that they are asking the right questions, that they are probing the right agencies. And then we file our own lawsuits. We issue our own FOIAs. We issue our own investigations. And Jordan, I really believe that that's why these new emails are coming out, why the FBI is handing over these notes. They have said that they don't like the fact that Congress, in this case, has cherry-picked the information that they has been made available to them and presented it in a way that is not complete. And that is why they are turning over the complete files. And I would just simply to say to that, well, that's a win because we want all of the information, too. We don't want to cherry-pick the information. We want all of the information out there so that the American people can make a decision not only on policy, but also this November when they go to the ballot box. So whatever the reason, I mean, I do think that the FBI may have wanted to keep this under cover of darkness as well. But whatever the reason, the more information that comes out and the more complete it is, the better. And that's why we are always engaging on all of those
fronts. And it's interesting to look at some of the numbers. I will say that Hillary Clinton is declining. Donald Trump has kind of stayed stagnant. Now, for either of them to win, she needs to kind of stop the bleeding. He needs to increase his numbers. So if she can stop the bleeding, she can kind of go coast in, if you will. But if she doesn't and this continues, then maybe, you know, it's cut after cut after cut, and finally you're in deep trouble. I think it's why the alarm bell has been rung by the New York Times. Cut your ties and your family's ties to the foundation completely. They want her to stop the bleading because they realize – you know, Donald Trump is kind of stays in position. He doesn't lose a lot of support. He does need to gain support to become president of the United States. But that's a better position sometimes than to be in a position where you're getting hit every day and more bruised and more cuts and more bleeding. And then suddenly you can't recover. You're not able to keep the group you need together encouraged enough to get out and vote for you. We talked about, Than was just talking about the FOIA request, getting things done. And we talked about how Fox had put up on the screen the ACLJ filing this FOIA request against the State Department. And we just did this yesterday in federal court.
here is the sound from that, where Fox News was discussing the American Center for Law and Justice and what we've done here. As we've informed you, it's Harris Faulkner, and let's play the bite. This just happened while we were on the air, so we wanted to tell you about the work that we do. It makes an impact.
The Obama administration on facing new questions about what it is doing to protect Christians and other religious minorities from the atrocities of the ISIS savages. The American Center for Law and Justice has filed a federal lawsuit against the State Department for allegedly ignoring its Freedom of Information request. The group is asking for records which show the steps the administration is now taking to respond to or stop the genocide. This comes in the wake of a horrific Associated Press survey documenting 72 separate mass graves in Iraq and Syria.
So, folks, again, the impact of the ACLJ at work and how that drove a discussion on Fox News and for about 10 more minutes about the genocide of Christians. That was the intro, and the intro was because of our lawsuit, they had something to cover specifically about the genocide going on by ISIS. And, Harry, to talk broadly about these FOIA requests, because I think people hear this term a lot right now. But when you've made the FOIA ability, you go into these government agencies, you make a detail request. We've had success with these, and sometimes they try to stall them out. There's deadlines, just like in court, they have to meet, or then they're subject to lawsuit. And we decided, you know, instead of going back and forth with the bureaucracy of the State Department, who will drag their feet, they miss their deadline, go to court. They then will have to respond. One of their responses could be, here, I don't know that they will actually admit it. But I have a feeling in this one, it may be the case that there's not much to give us.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I don't think this is one where it's thousands of pages of classified. I think that there probably isn't a lot to give us. But they don't want to acknowledge that publicly. So they'll try to drag out and make it appear as though, well, they've got to go through so much to find nothing at all.
Absolutely. So I think the administration likes to talk about fighting terror with love and compassion. They want to effectively hide the issue. Yet at the same time, there are thousands of Christians in your cities who are being massacred or being raped or being burned alive. And yet, even though the administration acknowledges that genocide is going on, the administration is unprepared to act. And so I think it's essential to file Freedom of Information requests and then to follow it up with litigation to expose the administration's inaction with respect to genocide.
Yeah, because if you believe, as Secretary Kerry said, that there's a genocide ongoing and you're the most powerful country in the world and you're a permanent member of the Security Council, there is a next step. It's not a guarantee, but there is a next step that you can take, and this would be one you could bring a coalition together. We'll be right back, ACLJ.org.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's the most lawless administration in history. Courts call President Obama's Justice Department, quote, unethical. The State Department lied about the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. The Department of Homeland Security scrubs Islam and jihad from its files. The administration covered up its Benghazi failures. The FBI rewrote the law while conducting a faux investigation of the State Department email scandal. And the list goes on. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable. And you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are in our rapid fire round, our final segment of the show today, taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We will get into Donald Trump's Mexico visit with the president tomorrow on the show, his immigration speech. And whenever the FBI does release, it was going to be as early as today, when the FBI does release their full report on the Clinton email investigation and the notes from her testimony that she gave directly to the FBI, we're going to analyze that all. That could be on tomorrow's show. It could be later in the week. It'll just depend on when the FBI actually released. They said as early as today, so it could make it on to tomorrow's show. But we know Donald Trump's giving the speech tonight in Arizona. We know he's meeting with the Mexican president, so we will give full coverage to that and give you an opportunity to discuss it and give your opinion on tomorrow's broadcast. I do want to encourage people. We have an important goal today to reach $250,000 we need to raise today. That can sound like a lot, but remember, we're talking to over a million of you right now and even more through Facebook and Periscope and a few million people. If you are able to donate, this is the time to do it. It's the final day of the month. We need to reach $250,000 raised today. A $5 donation is important. A $10 donation, these all make an impact. And if you can donate more, that's great. But don't feel like your donation won't be enough, that it won't make a difference or it won't make an impact. They all do. And you make that donation today at aclj.org. It takes a couple of minutes. aclj.org, and you're actually going to be part of a matching challenge. So if you could only give five, that becomes 10. So it doubles the impact of your gift. It's the final day of that and the final day of the month. So encourage you. We don't make these kind of pitches as often, take up this much time during the show to do it, but it is important for us to reach that goal today.
Yeah, we're going to go to call. Let's go to Laura in Portland, Oregon. Before we get to Laura, you can put her on the air. Otherwise, I just want to thank a few people who have said they just donated. So again, let's go to Valerie, who donated. Andrew Andres. Ricky Reyes, Karen. Ricky actually want to know how to donate. ACLJ.org. Karen. Mark Costanga. Again, appreciate it. He signed up for a monthly donation. Patty. Great. And Diane, everyone who has supported the ACLJ. I talked to many of you guys during the breaks. So let's go to Laura now in Portland, Oregon. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I want you all to know that I love you all very much, and I pray for you all the
time.
I
appreciate that.
I just love your program. And as I told the screener, we need to be forewarned. Forewarned is forearmed. So the press needs to tell us what's going on out there.
Yeah, I mean, we need to know what's coming our way. And I mean, like, what's happening around the world that could reach our shores. Ultimately, these kind of activities usually emanate, they start somewhere else. When you're talking about Islamic terrorism, so whether when it was ISIS, it started out in Iraq and Syria, and it ultimately moving through Europe and then reaching our shores with attacks, and they kind of spread out into not just an on-the-ground force in Syria and Iraq, but also a terror cell force that coordinated these international terror attacks. You could see that they were going that way because they were used to be part of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They used to be part of those affiliates. They just said, we also want to govern territory. We want to expand.
Right.
We knew from the Taliban they were giving safe haven to Al-Qaeda, a terror group. You cover that, you understand the threat that you could be facing and that you will likely face. Just the same as if there is a crime spree going on in your city, you need to know about. And honestly, if you live in a city that a lot of people visit or is right outside of a large city, the whole country probably needs to know about because we may be traveling there. You may have business in there. You may be driving
friends and
through.
Family.
Yeah. So you need to know about it. You know, I'm talking, you know, if you've got those kind of situations, active shooters, the reason why it goes national on national news is because we live in a place where, you know, we hop on a plane, we jump in a car, we a train, and we're in it where we can be in a different city very quickly. Yeah. And we've all
on the other side of the country in a couple hours.
Right. So what's happening in one place does matter to us. It's not like the national news covers every act of crime.
Right.
They cover the ones that they think has a national impact. And they do a pretty good job of what happens in our country, could do a better job of what's happening outside of our country. And I want to make sure for those like Laura, she may have dropped, but if you've been hanging on a long time, we will get a copy of the new book when it's out in just a few weeks. You can pre-order it now on Amazon.
Yes, Laura, if you want to call back.
Unholy Alliance. By our dad, Jay Sekulow. It will be out September 21st. Is it September 21st, guys? Yep. But you can pre-order it now on Amazon.
That's right.
And it talks about the issues we've been focusing on, the unholy alliance between Iran, Russia, and jihadists, and that they share, the agenda they share for conquering the world. But you can pre-order that now and encourage you to do so. I've pre-ordered 5 copies already on
Amazon. Very nice. All right. You're besting me. I need to get on there. Let's go to Linda in Tallahassee, Florida, online four. But quickly, Shelly, thank you. She's donated $5.
Thank you.
Dee is going to donate right when the show ends. And same with Diane's. Appreciate that. All right, Linda, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Linda. And I just wanted to make one comment. I think it's tragic that our government is ignoring history and that we are following a similar policy, that of Chamberlain's appeasement policy with Hitler in the 30s, and even Churchill's unwillingness to support the resistance movement in Germany while horrible genocide was going on all over Central Europe, yeah. Not just in Germany, but Czechoslovakia, Poland, and Russia.
You know, Linda, first of all, let me encourage you, hang on the line, because I want to get you, when the book comes out, you'll get a signed copy of Unholy Alliance. You hung on a long time to talk to us today. I want to go to Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C. Than, I think Linda brings up this point, this kind of appeasement strategy, and I do believe, you know, past the immigration issue with Donald Trump, that both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton may have said as much as she's going to say, continue the Obama strategy. That creates, to me, an opportunity for Donald Trump to really explain his strategy to defeat ISIS. He could do that in the debates, but you know, we're running out of time here in the presidential election. I just think that that's an issue he could clearly contrast with her on if he's willing to tell us more.
Well, first of all, one of the things that makes the United States different than many parts of the rest of the world is the media does tell us the truth for the most part, even if it's not positive towards our government. So that's a good thing. But I fully agree with you on the political point regarding Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Jordan, Hillary Clinton cannot separate herself from this foreign policy because she was at the center of this foreign policy. Donald Trump can. It's a matter of whether or not he decides to. The next president of the United States is going to have two jobs to do, to crush the threat, which is ISIS, and to aid these victims of genocide. It is going to be very difficult for Secretary Clinton to be able to convince American voters that she is going to be able to do that better than the government that she was a integral part of. Donald Trump can capitalize if he's able to identify that weakness and then show how he would be different.
All right. Let's go to Mark down in El Paso, Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for holding.
My quick question is, when does the government pass the line and enter into fraud, deliberate fraud, to mislead the public?
Contempt of court, I think, is what you're talking about. In a civil case, when can you cross the line and have committed a crime? You commit contempt of court if you don't comply with requests by the judge. That's when it transfers. So it's not between the two parties. That's the civil lawsuit. But the judge is an independent part of the government, you know, one of the three branches of government. And if you don't comply with what the judge has ordered, or if you try to mislead the court, the legal process, the system, then you have crossed over the line. And so I appreciate that. Just to clarify, that's a lot of times where people get into trouble is they testify under oath, even in a civil matter.
Right.
They lie. That's a crime. That's right. Not a civil issue anymore. That's now a crime that the government can prosecute.
Absolutely. We only have a few seconds left here. We get to want to thank everyone. And there's a laundry list of people that are coming through. Dennis says he donates monthly, so we supported him. Jerry said donated today. It wasn't much, but wanted to help and hope it makes a difference.
Yep.
Val said, I was finally able to donate today. A few people still asking what the website is to donate. ACLJ.org if you want to donate. Sandy just donated $25. Debbie also donated. A lot of people coming in saying they're donating. Really appreciate it.
You know, and folks, we appreciate that. And for those of you listening right now and on Facebook and Periscope, go to ACLJ.org. Our goal today, $250,000. We'll let you know tomorrow if we reached it, so we'll be very clear and transparent about it. If we surpassed it, we'll let you know. ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. We need your support to stay on track. Our goal today is to reach $250,000. It's a big number. We need your support. We need you all to chip in. ACLJ.org, and you'll double the impact of your donation if you donate online today.
It's the most lawless administration in history. The American Center for Law and Justice is holding the corrupt, lawless Obama administration accountable, and you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank